Hello and welcome to another episode of the Spodcasters. I'm Matt Tate and I'm joined by Benton Smith. And we are here today to, you know, I wish this was more interactive, Benton, because I really wish we could hear the readers and our audience and KU fans talk back to us, because I would love to hear how proud of us they are, how amazed by our foresight, how, I mean, we last week got on here and said, yeah, three KU guys are getting drafted for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
And that happened, right?
Right. We said, obviously, Sheck Diallo will go in the first round.
Bing.
That's obvious.
Bing.
Check mark.
One for one.
Wayne Selden will be drafted for sure.
Yeah.
And no. I kind of went out on a limb and said I thought Perry Ellis would get drafted.
And I agreed.
Yeah.
But, so three for three. We got that right.
Oh, wait.
Right?
No, we're 0 for 3 if you consider Diallo round one part of that equation, because he slipped into round two.
Oof.
And then Selden and Ellis went undrafted.
True.
So, yeah.
Tough week.
I know.
Tough week. What we did get right, Brandon Green, not drafted.
Yeah, we
did. Thank you very much.
All right.
We'll give you a pause here to celebrate.
Round of applause.
And then we will jump back into this podcast. All right. Anyway, enough about that. Yeah, you're right. I mean, I was a little surprised how things unfolded. I guess, and I'll ask you the same question, but I'll kind of throw my thoughts out there first. I guess I was more surprised that Selden and Ellis went undrafted than I was Diallo slipping to the second round.
Okay.
I could have guessed or seen or maybe bought that was going to happen, especially because he went with, what, the third pick of the round?
Right, 33.
So it was really early. But I would have seen that happening way before I saw Selden and Ellis going undrafted. And I think part of the reason that it is a little bit of a surprise is some of the guys that went instead of those guys. I mean, Abdel Nader.
Yeah, that was the one that really
nuts.
Jumped out to me.
Daniel Hamilton from UConn.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's a good athlete and he has some skills, but I don't see him as polished and well-rounded either of those guys.
We saw UConn play KU in the NCAA tournament, and I mean, he was a nice college player.
Right.
But
I don't really remember much about him in that game, and that kind of tells you all you need to know.
Yeah.
Even to some degree, even though Lehman's a freak, Jake Lehman from Maryland's a freak athlete and a really, really good, you know, prospect, I thought Selden played better than him in the tournament game that we saw too. So, and certainly Perry Ellis did. He was a monster in that game. So
he was unstoppable against Maryland.
Those were even Isaiah Cousins. You know, there's a little bit of a surprise there element for me. So I'll ask you that same question that I already answered. And you know, which elements of that surprised you most?
Probably what surprised me most is that Selden went undrafted.
Yeah.
Because you know, leading up to all the weeks of research that people do and put together mock drafts, and like DraftExpress.com basically prepares for the draft year-round.
Yeah, right.
And they've
and they do real work.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
It's not just a guessing game.
Yeah, they have reporters, and they send people to watch these prospects long ahead of time, long before the draft, sometimes years in advance.
Right.
So when Selden was projected as a, you know, mid to late second rounder consistently, I just thought, no way he goes undrafted.
Sure.
So that was the biggest surprise for me, probably.
Yeah, it's bizarre, and, you know, it's not doom and gloom. I mean, I
don't, oh, no way. Yeah.
I don't think it's the end of the world. And to be fair, I mean, I don't even think either one of us is like shocked. I think it was obviously a very possible thing. I mean, we believed
it was
going to happen, but I think it was probably like 80-20 or 90-10 that we thought it was going to go the other way.
Right.
But it wasn't like 100% they're getting drafted. We can't even envision anything else happening, because no, that was definitely a possibility. And several other people sort of predicted that and saw it happening that way. So now the question becomes, what happens with these guys? You know, what becomes of Perry Ellis and Wayne Selden and Brandon Green? With Diallo, it seems like, and you wrote this, that he ended up in a pretty good spot.
I mean, he
was drafted by the Clippers but traded to New Orleans. He gets to go into New Orleans with Buddy Hield, which is awesome for anybody. Anytime you're around a guy like that, let alone grouped with him, the work ethic that guy has, the professionalism, the maturity, that's going to help him a ton. But that's just a fraction of how much playing against Anthony Davis seemingly every day in practice will help.
And going up in drills against Anthony
Davis,
practicing, scrimmaging against Anthony Davis.
Right.
I mean, that guy is legitimately one of the league's future superstars if he's not there already.
Yeah, right.
So, I mean, you're just going to get better.
Right.
Because like we've talked about before, Diallo's such a hard worker.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to pick Davis's brain. He's going to pick the brains of his assistant coaches on the staff.
He'll be a little annoying, I bet.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
Like, stop asking so many questions, Shaq. But nobody will actually say that because bring it on. That's you know, an investment. And you want a guy like that, of course.
That's Bill Self talked about that last season. Like, Diallo texted him every single night and would ask him questions about things they had done in practice, and he said like nobody ever texted him as much as Shaq Diallo did. So
no.
That guy just wants to learn as much as he can about the game, and that's going to serve him well, especially in his position where he's got obviously a ton of way to go before he can actually produce on an NBA floor.
Yeah.
So.
No, it's a cool spot, and I think his future remains, even though he slipped to the second round.
Right.
I think his future remains very bright. We already know Perry Ellis will play summer ball with the Mavericks in Dallas, or with the Dallas Mavericks in Vegas.
Yeah.
Good spot. You've done a little research, and actually, I know you've looked back at some of the last, 5 years of Mavericks summer league teams.
Yeah, I was just interested to kind of see, like, how often they really utilize undrafted guys, and obviously, there's so many spots in the summer league available. There are a lot of undrafted guys that end up playing on each team. So Ellis is going to get a chance, and I mean, just knowing what we've seen of him the past few years, you know he's gonna turn some heads. He's gonna prove himself a little bit.
Sure.
Whether or not he ends up sticking around with Dallas, that doesn't necessarily even matter because other teams
see him all summer.
Every single team is at that summer league scouting. You know?
Yeah, all it takes is one.
Right.
The question about Perry Ellis, even though both of us and all kinds of KU fans and even other analysts nationally, you know, they've talked about how solid he is, what a smart guy, what a versatile guy, all these things that he has going for them. If you remember, though, one of the biggest knocks on Ellis throughout his career, probably until the end, was that he was not aggressive enough, not assertive enough, and I wonder how difficult it'll be for him to stand out if he takes that same approach, if he's that guy that even at Kansas, even as a starter at KU, sort of more blended in at times than he did stand out. I wonder if that'll hurt him any.
Well, the thing with these summer league rosters, I mean, take a look at them as they come out over the next couple of weeks because they are not impressive.
Yeah, good point.
I mean,
good point.
There are guys just... Those things are littered with guys you've never heard of and guys you will never hear of again
after
this summer. I don't think Perry Ellis is one of those guys. Obviously, he's a national name if you follow college basketball.
Yeah.
And he's talented. And I think that'll help because, you know, if you put Perry Ellis and a bunch of guys that are just kind of maybe have been out of college for a couple of years playing overseas or are international guys who haven't played a lot in the U.S., he's going to have a chance to be featured. I mean...
Yeah, that's a good point. And I think part of it, too, is maybe the two different perspectives. What I just talked about was more of a fan perspective.
Oh,
he's not standing out. He's not standing out. I would imagine that if you talk to coaches during that same time, including Bill Self, but beyond that, any coach of basketball, those guys, he would have been standing out to those guys even during that, you know, quote-unquote... less assertive era of Perry Ellis. So maybe that's something to remember because most of the eyes on him there will be fans there, but they don't matter. What matters is the front office guys and the assistant coaches and all those guys that are out there. So I would agree. I think Perry Ellis will have a great chance. And you know, he didn't hurt himself, and he's going to get a chance to probably have some interaction with Mark Cuban, which really, I mean...
Always entertaining.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he'll borrow a few bucks, which won't help or won't hurt any. But you know, Cuban, like him or hate him, is a very, very smart man, a very wise business and NBA executive.
Right.
And you know, that's a guy that, if I had an opportunity, I would pick his brain for any aspect of my life just to see, hey, you know, what can I learn from him? Because he's clearly... done well with his life and his path and his franchise, so that won't hurt, even if it's 10 minutes.
Yeah, and that's a very... He's probably the player-friendliest owner
in
the league. Like, he just wants the best of everything for his players, you know? I mean, I remember reading 10 years ago that, like, he wanted every locker room equipped with, like, HD TVs and PlayStations and stuff. That was kind of, like, his way to make a mark, and he just wanted anything that he's doing, he wants it, you know... the absolute best.
Yeah.
And for his guys, just so it'll be an attractive place for
people want to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, they can wear t-shirts like he does. It's great stuff. All right, so that's two. Seldon and Green are guys we don't really know what's happening with yet.
Right.
They haven't. There have been no announcements. Nobody's tipped their hand as far as where they're going to play summer ball. They're both going to play, no doubt.
Yeah, I think Seldon 100% will be on a summer league team.
Yeah.
And I feel like Green's got a really good shot.
Yeah. I wonder why. I mean, the draft, it wasn't 3 weeks ago, but it was, you know, in the 24/7 news cycle world we live in, it was a while ago now.
Mm.
Why the delay? Well, I mean, I know it doesn't start until early July.
Well, yeah, the first one starts in Orlando, actually, this coming weekend.
Oh, okay.
The 1st or 2nd of July
it starts.
But I think it's only like four teams in that one.
Okay.
The big one's in Vegas.
Right.
That's like almost 2 weeks after that.
Okay.
So there is, and I think it's just, I think each team maybe have a different timetable on when they really want to announce who's going to, you know, play for them and that sort of thing. And with Seldon, I think another factor could be just his agent is probably trying to get him a guaranteed contract.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, I mean,
don't take the first thing
that
comes.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Just that's a good point. Because with the NFL draft, same thing.
I mean,
KU, maybe more than any school, has had a ton of these undrafted free agents that try to find spots the night of the draft, the night after
the
draft.
Right after it ends, yeah.
And I've talked to a bunch of them, text and talk to and all that, about, hey, I've got this spot, but don't write anything yet or don't tweet anything yet because I'm trying to see if I can't get a better offer or a better spot.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that could be exactly what's happening with both of those guys, but certainly with Seldon, just because, you know, it's not about that first offer. It's about the best offer,
and that's
in both terms of opportunity and financial gain. So that's great. That's very interesting that you think that because, you know, Mario Chalmers was a second-round draft pick, non-guaranteed money, got a guaranteed contract. There's been a few second-round picks this year already that have already said they have guaranteed money. You know? And that continues to be more or less a trend. I mean, that first round is always the big hoopla made about guaranteed money. But it needs to be pointed out, and people need to remember, I think, that just because you don't go in the first doesn't mean you're guaranteed not to get money.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right,
like it's almost, the guarantee in the first round's great. You'll take that, anybody will take that literally to the bank. But it doesn't mean if you don't go in the first, that, no way, you can't get money.
Yeah, there is guaranteed money available to second round picks and even undrafted guys.
Right.
If a team wants to, you know, invest a little bit in a low-risk free agent.
Sure.
I mean, that's a way to go.
Sure. Yeah, and there are plenty of teams, as you know, and you follow it as well as anyone I know, that have depth issues, that may be looking for a piece like Seldon that says, hey, we can give him a really low contract for no risk on our end and maybe even some, you know, incentives thrown in there that makes such a deal enticing to Seldon. And then they risk very little to pick him up and add depth and their ways out of it and all that stuff. So
yeah, and I think this summer with all the free agency that's going on and the salary cap is going up, so there's going to be a lot of money going around to veterans who actually have played and are in free agency this summer. But I think once that starts to settle down, teams will be left with roster spots and they'll have to figure out a way to fill it out. And I mean, there's going to be a couple teams that just need young, inexpensive guys.
Yeah.
And that's going to be good news for Ellis and Seldon.
Yeah, no doubt. I saw a thing on the internet, a slideshow, 15 players' names that you can't believe are still playing basketball and should probably hang it up. And naturally, I clicked on it because I thought that would be interesting, and I thought I would laugh like you did. Some of them were absolutely hysterical. I mean, like Stephon Marbury still playing basketball somewhere. That's crazy
in
to me.
China, making that money.
Beijing, right, exactly. But some of them were names that could resurface. A, summer league. B, as a low-risk roster option for the upcoming season. Jacob Pullen was one of those. He's probably not, you know, NBA bound anytime soon because of the things that kept him out initially probably are going to keep him out for good. But there were some others, Josh Boone, Will Bynum, Luke Herangode. Luke, is that right?
Yeah.
I mean, those are names that, you know, were big time college players and, right. and could possibly resurface. I think all of those names that I just mentioned did play in the NBA at one point or another. So we're getting off topic a little bit there, but that's kind of the point. I mean, yeah. if there's a place for those guys to get another look, another crack, another opportunity, then there should be a place for these undrafted KU guys, because the biggest advantage they have is their age. They're younger.
Exactly.
And yeah. so there's less wear and tear, there's less mileage, and they should have at least a favorable opportunity for this team or that team to say, okay, well, we'll give them a shot. You know, what's right. the worst that can happen?
Right.
So, any other thoughts? Summer league or draft or anything like that? We won't go into the Celtics debacle. I don't want to do that to you.
I don't want to start openly weeping.
Right. No, that's not good. It doesn't. It really blows out the speakers, and nobody needs to hear that. But any other thoughts regarding these KU players and sort of their fate? And you guys should, before Benton answers that, you should check out this. This history of the Dallas Mavericks Summer League blog that he's going to do, because it'll be packed with cool information, some names that you've probably heard, some names that you haven't.
Right, but exactly.
He did a lot of research. I witnessed it with my own two eyes. This guy's grinding over here. So check that out. Look for it sometime Tuesday probably is when it'll post. But yeah. any final thoughts?
Summer League in general is pretty boring, unless you're going to watch like one of the top two or three picks play.
Sure.
But I think for KU fans, this should be interesting to follow.
Yeah.
The games themselves probably won't be that fun to watch,
no.
but it will be really entertaining to see how Diallo does, to see how Perry Ellis does with Dallas, because that's going to be crucial to the next step of his career.
Yeah.
And how Wayne Selden ends up doing with whatever team
right.
he ends up playing with.
Right.
Because, I mean, these are a big couple of weeks for these guys.
Yeah, and we'll have, whether it's you and the Hawks in the NBA blog or Gary in his regular notes, we'll have all kinds of reaction and feedback and just updates from what's happening in the Summer League. One other guy, and I don't know this, you'll know the answer immediately. I feel like I do, but I'm going to ask you. Joel Embiid, is he going to be playing Summer
League?
He's
not.
Okay.
He's not. He's basically finally reached the point where he could actually do 5-on-5.
Yeah.
But just as a precaution, they're going to keep him out. So
okay.
that's probably the biggest disappointment in
yeah.
the Summer League, because I've been right. wanting to watch Joel Embiid play for 2 years now.
Right.
I miss the guy.
Right.
I like watching him.
Exactly right. No, that would have added to the excitement
yeah.
level. I mean,
yeah.
that piece might have been more exciting than any of the other three we just mentioned.
Yeah,
you
I
know,
agree completely.
Just to see where he's at, what he's doing. But it is good news that he's been at least cleared
yeah,
for some 5-on-5 type stuff.
And he'll actually be in Vegas practicing with the Sixers as
cool,
a plan.
Cool.
So
yeah.
he just won't be playing in those Summer League games.
But you can bet he'll be tweeting about
yes.
them.
He might live tweet those.
So in that case, you should hope for Selden or Brandon Green to land with the Sixers.
Right.
And then Joel Embiid will tell you everything you need
right.
to know about everything they're doing. Morning, noon, and night. It'll be beautiful. What a master tweeter. All right, well, that's all we've got. A little post-NBA draft recap. Like I said, we'll keep an eye on all of it. Gary, Benton, myself, we'll have all kinds of information and updates on KUSports.com, whether that's in regular notebook-type stuff or the Hawks in the NBA blog. So be sure to check it out. Check out Benton's Dallas Mavericks Summer League History blog. Maybe the first and only of its kind. I don't know.
We should say it is Perry Ellis focused.
Right, right.
We're curious about Perry Ellis' chances.
Yeah, basically, do they give these guys a chance
yeah,
or not?
Yeah.
And so, obviously, it's not a white and black sort of situation. I
exactly,
mean, Perry Ellis
yeah.
is a different guy than any guy they've had, and
right.
so that will factor in too. But yeah, it's definitely worth a read. It'll be cool to check out. I'm looking forward to it. You should be too. For Benton Smith, Mr. NBA. I'm Matt Tate. Thanks for checking out this Spodcasters episode, and we will talk to you guys again very soon.